Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, and then we're going to jump over to Luke chapter number 8. So just keep that in mind. We'll just read these two verses, then we'll pray, and then we'll jump over into Luke chapter number 8. The Bible says this in verse number 11. It says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and preach your word. Lord, I thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church here in Jasonville, Indiana. I thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church. It's exciting to see people sticking with it and faces I recognize, and then also faces I don't recognize, which means they're reaching people. So, Lord, I pray you continue to bless them. Lord, help them to be able to continue to expand in every area. Lord, grow the bus ministry. Lord, grow their Sunday school classes. God, grow the Christian school in your time and your will. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around the leadership of this church, starting with the pastor and his family. And Lord, I pray, God, you just continue to do something supernatural in this place as they attempt to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you bless this message. Help me, Lord, as I deliver it. In Jesus' name, pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now let's go over to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. And while you're turning there, how many of you like to watch storms? Like, you think it's kind of cool to watch, like, lightning storms? You think that's kind of cool? Yeah, I do too. I like those type of things. You know, when the lightning's shooting across the sky and sometimes it splits and sometimes it arcs underneath and just all that light, that's cool stuff. I mean, it's just cool stuff. I even like watching tornadoes from a distance. That's cool stuff. I mean, seeing the thing twirl around and, you know, picking people's houses up as long as it's not mine, you know, that kind of thing, throwing them across, you know, seeing cows float through the air, all those things. I like that, you know. I like watching, you know, from a distance, like on TV, volcanoes erupting. I like that kind of thing. I mean, it's just neat to watch those type of things. I mean, they're just awesome to observe from a distance. Now, I know there's some that get their kicks out of chasing storms. Like, they get this thrill, like, oh, look, there's a class 5 tornado, let's go get it, you know? And, I could picture Nathan Walton being one of those guys. He'd have, you know, a helmet cam on, and he'd be riding a motorbike, just trying to get to the next one, and he'd have a lasso. He'd think he could ride that thing. And, there's some get their kicks out of that kind of thing, but not me. I'd rather just watch it from a distance. I think those that chase storms are nuts. They're crazy. Something wrong with them. And I want to avoid the storm as much as possible. But sometimes you just can't help. You get caught up in the storm. You just get caught up in it. And so this is kind of what happens here in Luke chapter number 8, just to kind of set the tone. Let's read a few verses here, starting in verse number 23. Okay? Actually, 22, let's back up. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth." Now, that sounds simple, doesn't it? Right there. He says, let us go to the other side, right? Go to the other side. It says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water." That's a bad thing in a boat. "And were in jeopardy." Now, Jesus doesn't say they were in jeopardy, but the Holy Spirit, under, you know, inspiring here Luke to write, he says they were in jeopardy. They were in peril. This is dangerous. They weren't making this up. Something was bad. And so afterwards, it says, verse number 24, it says, "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish." You know, they're certain they're going to die. They're certain this thing, it's got a bad end. "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water to obey him." Now, they didn't understand really all about who Jesus was at this point. They just didn't understand. Now, we say, well, it seems simple, but we weren't there in that time and that, you know, what was all going on. We see it from the out perspective, you know? But they're still wondering about some things. And notice verse number 26. After all that happens, it says, and they arrived. They got to the other side, right? They arrived. They arrived. And I want to preach a message entitled this tonight, Unto the Other Side. Unto the Other Side. Now, let me just walk through this, and I'm just going to give you a few points tonight, and then I'm going to pull it all together. So just bear with me with this story, and I'm going to pull it all together at the end, and hopefully it'll all make sense. Now, like I said, and Pastor Jerry said, we've been on a roller coaster and all kinds of things happened. And then I flew over here and started early and not as early as he did this morning. So if I sound confusing, it's because I am, okay? I'm just confused. Things are messed up in my head, all right? But God, he's not confused about anything. And hopefully this will be a help to you. So number one, about storms, about trying to get to the other side. Number one is this, the storm is almost always unexpected. The storm is almost always unexpected. Now, sometimes we watch the news and we see these guys doing their best job to attempt to predict the weather. And they don't do a very good job. They just don't. Because God changes and shifts things so fast, right? But a lot of times they'll get it right. You know, they do a better job now than they've ever done. With all this technology, but the fact is sometimes stuff starts moving in and it's very, very unexpected. And this is what happens to the disciples. Look back in verse number 23. Okay, they launch forth in verse number 22. Verse 23 says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. So there isn't any imminent danger at this point, right? Everything's smooth sailing, calm as can be, no big deal. And and it says, and then there came down a storm of wind on the lake. But that was unexpected. So here's what's going on. If you just picture it in your mind with me. So they get out on the sea here. They get on the lake. And the Lord Jesus Christ is so nice out and it's so casual out. He takes a nap. I mean, this is a nice day out. And so you can imagine the disciples thinking, well, the Lord's asleep. The master's asleep. Nothing's going on. We'll just cruise the other side. Now remember who's in the boat. We've got, well, Jesus is in the boat. But remember who's probably in there steering and captaining the boat. You've got Peter, right? I mean, you got guys in there that know what they're doing. These guys aren't slack in knowing about boats and knowing about the sea. I mean, these guys are expert fishermen. They live their life on the sea. They know all about it. They know every little avenue and they know every little detail. They know things to look for. And by the way, they've probably been in a few storms, don't you think? And but this one caught them off guard. This one happened to just catch them by the way, and they didn't really know what to do, and the ship starts taking on water, and before I get ahead of myself, I mean, these guys, listen, they're in trouble, but they're not novices. You know, these guys aren't the guys that just bought, like, let's say, a kayak out of Walmart, you know, one of those plastic ones, and they don't know what they're doing, and they just throw the thing in the river, and they're like, hey, guys, we're going to go kayaking, you know? They're not those guys. Now, I've seen some of those guys, and that's bad, okay? That's bad. But these are not those guys. These guys are experts in navigating the waters. They've been there many times. They know the ins and the outs. This was just another ordinary day that turned out to be out of the ordinary. Now, you say, what is that? How does that apply to me? I can imagine these guys just being kind of casual in their conduct, you know, on the waters. You know, no big deal. Hey, we're just sailing across. No big deal. Now, in our Christian life, sometimes this is the way we treat our Christian life, is we become casual in our conduct. And I don't mean anything sinful necessarily, but what happens is we get really comfortable of where we're at. We've done enough times. Hey, you've taught that Sunday school class for years. You've run that bus route for years. You've worked on it. Some of you, you know, you've been in the Christian school for a while, and you've been well-trained. You know, that's the main prize discipleship course of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If I remember Pastor Jerry saying, you know, it's the top-notch discipleship course there. This is where the young people get really ingrained and really engrossed in the Word of God and trained to be the next leaders of the church. Hey, that's great. And they get used to doing certain things. Hey, some of you young people here know more about soul winning at your age than I did by the time that I was age 30. Just because you've lived it and you know it. I mean, you go knock on a door, it's no surprise to you now. You know what to say, you know what to do. You almost know what to expect, except for the occasional door that throws you off where somebody says something, you're like, whoa, I don't know what this is. Or they answer the door dressed a certain way and you don't know what to do with that, you know, or not dressed a certain way and you don't know what to do with that. And it catches you off guard a little bit. But for the most part, you know what to expect. You know what to do. You come here in here on Sunday morning, you know what to expect. You know what's going on, and you just kind of casually go through it, and you just kind of walk through that. You're not novices at it anymore. And sometimes what will happen is a storm will come through that you just don't see coming, something that's unexpected, something that you don't know is coming your way, and it just catches you off guard. The storm is almost always unexpected. Number two, the situation then causes great difficulty and discomfort. Verse number 23. So the storm catches them off guard. They were just kind of casual in their conduct, just another day. Now the situation has come to such a place where it causes great difficulty and great discomfort for them. Verse 23, it says, and there came down a storm of the wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now, if you're in a boat and it starts filling up with water, you're in great difficulty, you know? I mean, somebody's over there with buckets and going, you know, like this, and if they're running out of buckets, I can imagine one of the disciples, he's like, I don't know what to do, so he starts sucking out his mouth and spitting on the other side. He just doesn't know what to do. And, you know, it almost be like one of those cartoons, like old-time cartoons, and the old Looney Tunes cartoons, where maybe the guy goes over and he's lifting one leg and sucking water into the one guy, you know, and then he moves him over and pumps it all out. I don't know how it all worked, but hey, listen, they were having trouble, okay? Difficulty. There's a little bit of discomfort at this time. You know, they're probably tripping over each other. They're almost in the point of panic. And the fact is that the storms of life are not just some walk in a park. They're not a game. It's serious, and it's seriously uncomfortable. And by the way, it's part of God's plan. I want you to remember that it was the Lord Jesus' idea for them to cross the lake. That was his idea. It was not the disciples' idea. They didn't come up together and they didn't get in a huddle and say, guys, what are we going to do today? Oh, I know, let's cross the lake. That wasn't their idea. Jesus told them to go. They were just following the directions of their master. That's it. Now, as we go along the Christian life, we often get comfortable with where we're at. That is, we come to the place, and we won't say it, but we almost think it where we've arrived, we've kind of plateaued, we're real comfortable. I do this every Sunday, I do this and do this and do this, and you're just kind of comfortable with that. And what God does is he says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you be comfortable for a while, and then I'm going to shake some things up so you're not so comfortable anymore. I believe that's what happened in the church of Ephesus. You look at them, I mean, they were a working church. Look in Revelation chapter 2. Right? They were a working church, were they not? They were zealous, were they not? They were zealous. But something happened to where they were comfortable in their own works, and they forgot their first love, right? And I believe at times God will take a church, he'll take individuals of a church, and he'll shake some things up, create some great difficulty, create some great discomfort, to get us to realize there's something missing in our life when we don't even realize it's missing. You ought to do what you're supposed to do. You ought to go soul winning, right? You ought to read your Bible, right? We ought to pray, right? We ought to tithe. You know, that's command. I didn't hear any amens on that. We must be in a Baptist church. And we ought to be faithful to the house of God. We know those. That's five-star Christian type stuff. And most of us can do that in our sleep. Some of you, I mean, it's become such habit that you get up, you read your Bible, you pray, you don't even think twice about that. It's not something you necessarily struggle with. You don't think about in the morning, whether on Sunday morning, whether or not you're going to church. You just do it. You don't think about whether or not you're going to tithe. That's just part of your life now. You're comfortable with that. You just put that in. No big deal. And somehow, sometimes we get to that place where we think, okay, that's it. That's the Christian life, and we're plateaued, and that is it. And we're just doing it, man. We're just doing it. And by the way, you shouldn't quit doing it. But God sometimes will take some things and shake it up so that you realize there's more to the Christian life than just being five star. Sometimes we just need something to make us very, very uncomfortable. Which leads us to number three. The Savior desires us to come to Him. Verse number 24. And they came to Him. And awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. I'm wondering in the disciples' life as they've gone and they've been walking with Jesus, they've walking with Him step by step, they see Him perform the miracles, they see Him do this and they see Him do that, and He's even asked them to go do this and go do that and send them out, and they're doing all those things and they're excited about those things. But maybe they just for a time, they got kind of comfortable with doing all these things and they've seen it, and now it's kind of routine. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to shake you up a bit so that you'll come to Me again. Maybe they came to a place where they were doing those things in their own strength and with their own ingenuity, with their own might, and all those type of things that we all struggle with. Y'all hear me here? Now, this is hard to believe, but I've been preaching for 20 years now. I know it doesn't seem like that because I look like I'm 17 still, right? No. Over the last several weeks, God has put this preacher through some school, and He's made some things very uncomfortable for me. Very uncomfortable. And at the end of it, I realized all God wanted, or wants right now at least, is for me to simply come to Him. Jesus wants us to come to Him. Have you ever thought that the God of heaven desires to be desired? He wants the prize of His creation to think on Him, to desire Him, to come to Him. And often the storms of life are not so much about getting victory as much as us getting a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with the God of heaven. When we're left with nowhere else to go but God, then we're in a good place. Over the last several weeks, with my family being gone, I didn't realize how much I leaned on my wife as a crutch. She's my helpmate. And I feel very incomplete without her. And by the way, I am incomplete without her. God designed that. But you know who I need more than my wife? My God. That's who I need. I found myself simply coasting along in the Christian life, acknowledging God and everything. But not making it personal. In Acts 27, we find a storm of great proportions, don't we? The Euroclydon storm, or Euroclydon, or however somebody else wants to pronounce it. But this storm of great proportions, we find the people in there, we find them doing everything they can to just survive, right? they start unloading all kinds of stuff. And they start, it kind of goes in stages. It goes in stages. You know, they unload some things. They say, okay, that's not necessary. You know, we don't really need that, so we unload that. And then the storm isn't getting any better, and they're afraid that the ship's going to sink. So they start, you know, binding things up and strapping things together, and they think, well, okay, that'll be okay. But it's not okay. And so it keeps getting worse, and pretty soon they're dumping stuff. They're like, well, we kind of need this, but we don't need it right now, so we're just going to offload everything so we can make sure this ship floats. And what has happened in my life, in my personal life here, I'm just giving my heart tonight, and some of you need this. I think it'll be a help to you. If maybe you're going through something, and I don't know what it is. You know, I don't live here, and I'm guessing you're either in a storm right now, or you've just been through a storm, or you're about to go through one. That's just the way of life. And you've heard that, and you know that. It's been preached here. I'm not saying anything new, but this may help you right now. God sometimes, He uses a storm to get us to be uncomfortable so that we'll offload everything in our life and we'll just simply give that over to Him and just simply rely on Him and Him alone. Now, my tendency is to be a planner. And that's not a bad thing. I like to plan. And I like to know things ahead of time. If I get enough runway, then I think I can get it done most of the time. And I start plotting and planning and this thing and that thing. Well, some things started shaking up, you know, shaking up with Silas. And then I send my family and I'm thinking, what are we going to do there? And I start plotting and planning. And by the way, my mind, the way it works is this. My mind was mentally preparing for the worst possible case scenario news, so that I could help my family. So I'm plotting and planning and all these different things. Worst case scenario, what about this? And what about this? I'm going down this avenue and that avenue. And then there's some things going on at our church that just really shook up our church. And so here I am. I'm planning for this scenario. And I'm planning for this scenario and that scenario. And I'm just going all through these things. And it got to the point where I was hardly sleeping at night. I mean, I just couldn't hardly sleep a wink. I wasn't eating right. I wasn't sleeping right. And when that happens, you don't usually think right, you know. And all those things were taking place. And I'm sure I didn't act right, but that's normal. So maybe people didn't think anything strange there. But as I was going through all those things and I was trying to plot this out and plan this out, and by the way, I was seeking God through the whole thing, I come to the end of it and I realize I can't plan for everything. I just need God. I could stress about this and I could stress about that. I could fret about this and I could fret about that. Or I could just offload everything and say, God, it's all yours. God wants us to come to the place where we'll beg for His presence. He wants us to beg for His wisdom. He wants us to beg for His strength and His power. He wants us to want Him. The Savior desires us to come to Him. Number four, the situation creates an examination of our faith. Now, I've already gone through some of that, but I want you to take your Bibles real quick to Mark chapter number 9. Very interesting story found in Mark chapter number 9. Actually, there's a couple of them, really, but verse number 17. The Bible says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Now let me stop right there. I want you to place yourself in this story just for a moment. Now, if you're a young person, I want you to think of a father just for a moment. Okay? If you're a dad, this ought to connect with you. Just, I'm right on. If you're a mother, this should connect just because it's talking about children. Now, this son is older, but still, he's a son. And you can only imagine what's going on in this father's heart and mind as he sees his son every day struggling. He sees the conflict, he sees the struggle, he sees the hardship that he's going through, and you can just see that how it breaks the father's heart watching all of this. And he goes over to the disciples and he says, listen, can you guys take care of this for me? And they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do it. In verse number 19, it says, Jesus says, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. His whole life he's been struggling with this. This dad's been hurting, watching his son go through this the entire time of his son's life. That's a long storm. And oftentimes, verse 22, it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He's pleading now, is he not? It's a good place, isn't it? Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, do you catch that? With tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When you're going through a storm, or you're going through a trouble, you're going through a trial, you're going through something that's of great difficulty and discomfort, it causes you, the situation causes you, or creates an examination of your faith. Here the man said, I believe, but somewhere deep inside of me, I don't. Now, I believe this. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's believing God despite your doubt. Just trusting Him. That's easier said than done. Now, for me, this whole situation, the things that I've been going through, has created an examination of my faith, and I've come to the place where I'm much like this guy's. Lord, I believe what it says in here. I've read it and read it and read it and read it over and over and over, and I've sought you. I mean, your word tells me to pray about things, and I've been seeking your face. I'm begging you to heal my son. I'm begging you to do some things in our church. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. All these things. And God said, you know what? This discomfort is so you'll just keep coming to me. And at the end, I say, you know what? I don't understand everything you're doing, Lord. I don't know the end of this. I believe your word, but help my unbelief. Help me to trust you like I should. Help me to not waver like I seem to at times. Help me to not struggle with this so bad. Help me to just simply trust you and go to you and know that you've got everything in your hand. Help me to realize that not only have you given those promises, but you plan to keep those promises too. It examines our faith. Now, let me sum everything up. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'm done. I'm going to use a Bible illustration to sum everything up. Verse number 11, the Bible says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Now, the Bible uses an incredible illustration here about an eagle. A mother eagle. Now, I know that you have bald eagles around here somewhere, and I get to see them actually near my house. at times, bald eagles. And we have ospreys and those type of things, but there's something about the bald eagle. It's just an incredible bird. It's huge. And yet when it gets into the air, it just seems like it takes its wings and spreads them out and just rides the winds with such ease and grace. I'm so glad that Benjamin Franklin lost out and our national bird was not a turkey. Now, if we get enough going on in the White House, maybe that needs to change. I don't know. But right now, it's an eagle. And I watched those eagles, and I've actually got to examine an eagle's nest when I was in biology class in high school. One actually got picked up out with the wind and actually fell down on the ground. And so we got to actually examine what was all in the nest. That's neat stuff. They're huge nests, too. I mean, I could have laid down and taken a nap in that thing. And not very comfortable, but I would take a nap in that thing. It's just that big, and they're just huge. And here's what an eagle does. So they have their little eaglets, and the mother stays busy about getting food and feed them to the young little eagles and make sure that there's always stuff inside the nest to make them nice and comfortable and nice and warm and creates that atmosphere where it's just, you know, just real nice for them. I mean, they're getting fed. They're fat, dumb, and happy little birds, you know, those little eaglets. I mean, they're just loving it. Well, after a little while, the mother eagle realizes, you know, these things are growing, and this nest is not as big as it used to be, and they got to get out of this nest. By the way, young people, that's how your parents view you at times. They're getting bigger, and they keep getting eating more, and there's not as much room in this house anymore, and someday they got to go. And that's just the way it works. And don't be scared of that. It's okay. And it'll be especially okay for your parents. Now, so the mother eagle, she does this. And she sees this. And she sees that there's a need in their life. They got to continue to grow. They can't stay where they are. They cannot continue to just be comfortable in the nest. There's something greater for them. So what she does is that nice, comfortable nest that she has created with all these little furry things inside of it, you know, to lay down as a pillow and all. What she does is she goes in there and she starts taking the sticks inside the nest and she starts turning them up. She starts turning them up, turning everything up. And what she does is she stirs the nest up and makes it very uncomfortable. I mean, for that little eaglet, you know, it was used to sitting down in its little spot, you know, just kind of getting comfortable. Ah. And now what it does is it gets down in there and it's, oh, hey, that's not so comfortable anymore. I don't like this place. And so what happens is eventually that little eaglet kind of works its way to the edge of the nest and it looks down and it goes, whoa, that's a long way down there. And basically the mother eagle says, it's time for you to learn some stuff. Boo! And just kind of shoves them off, you know. And they flounder and they float down and they're and the mother eagle, what she'll do is she'll swoop down and catch them on their wings. Now, I've heard stories, and I can't verify this. I don't know if everybody's watched every eagle in the world, but I've heard that a mother eagle has never dropped her eaglet. That's what I've heard. Now, I don't know how to verify that, but that's what's been told. Now, I think that's a good illustration for our Lord. Well, what she does then is not only does she catch them, but then she flies back up to the nest and puts them back in it where it's uncomfortable. Try it again. Try it again. Try it again. And she continues to keep that place very uncomfortable. And they keep going and they keep moving and they keep trying until one day she bumps them off the nest. And instead of her having to catch them, they're flying. They're doing what they're supposed to do. What God does in a storm is he basically stirs our nest. He creates a situation that is so uncomfortable that we can't sit there anymore. And we need him more than we've ever needed him. And what he wants to do is move us to another level, another place in our Christian life, so that we can do what we're supposed to do for him. I want to encourage you tonight. Sometimes people get bitter in storms. Why is God doing this to me? You say, Pastor Derek, have you ever got that attitude? Yes. Some of you say, it's not fair. This physical thing has happened to me, or this thing in my home has happened, or whatever the case may be. It's not fair. Hey, listen, maybe it just needs to be uncomfortable for you for a little while so that you can learn to fly. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the storms, and that is not easy to say. Lord, I thank you for discomfort. That's not easy to say. Father, I thank you for allowing us to go through certain things in our life so that we'll realize the only thing we need is you. That's it. And when we get to that place, you bear us up, and one day you let us fly. Oh God, I thank you for that. I pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't know what you're doing here, and I don't know all the things that are going on in any of the situations. I don't know anything concerning this church. But I do know this. After going through some of the things we've gone through, I realize that everybody's hurting. There isn't a person I know that doesn't hurt in some capacity. And we all need you. Oh, Father, I pray you'd help us to realize it. Father, I pray for this invitation. Lord, as I turn it over to Pastor Jerry, Lord, God, may your will and your way be worked at this time. In Jesus' name, pray and ask these things. Amen.